We're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Are certain dog breeds vicious by nature, or is it individual dogs that we should consider dangerous, unsuitable as pets? Well, in recent decades, we've seen this shift to ban certain types of dogs as pets or declare certain types vicious in city ordinances, pit bulls, for instance. But now there's a new trend of reversing such laws or rewording them so that a dog is declared vicious based on its behavior, not its breed. And Des Moines is among the cities that could reword its law. After Des Moines resident Christine Party approached the city council to change the law, they appointed a task force to make recommendations on the subject and could vote on it soon. Christine Party joins us from our studio in Des Moines. Hi, Christine.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Good afternoon to you. We want to reach out to our audience this half hour. Do you agree that cities should reword ordinances so that a dog is declared vicious, unsuitable for a pet in a city circumstance based on its behavior, not its breed? 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. River to River at iowapublicradio.org. You can tweet us at IPR Talk or find Iowa Public Radio on Facebook to leave a comment or a question. Christine, I understand that currently in Des Moines, pit bulls, and this is a generic term for the breeds American Staffordshire Terriers and Staffordshire Terriers, it's defined as vicious breeds, even if they have no aggressive history. What changes are you proposing?
Well, personally, I am in support of the repeal of breed discriminatory, or sometimes also what's referred to as breed-specific language. And our municipal code in Des Moines certainly does contain that language, which means regardless whether or not an owner of dog identified in the code has ever had a propensity for an attack or ever been involved with one, it's automatically labeled as a vicious animal, and then therefore the owner has a number of other responsibilities to address.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned a couple of the breeds there. Are there other breeds, Rottweilers, that are similarly banned?
In the municipal code, that particular isn't mentioned, but it's not uncommon in other codes throughout the United States that if they do have BSL language, that is a breed sometimes that's mentioned as well.
So make the argument of why this change should be made and no longer breed-specific.
Well, number one, one of the things for me, and I'll disclose that I'm not an animal behaviorist. I don't have any professional or, you know, academic training working with dogs. But one of the things that was very compelling for me that helped inform my opinion about why I think this is important is a resolution that was submitted by the American Bar Association and a recent one also by the American Veterinary Society and the CDC that provided some really compelling scientific data and policy analysis that's occurred for years that makes a strong case for the fact that breed neutral language is really a wise ways to go for a number of reasons. Breed-specific laws oftentimes are expensive to enforce, and they really don't get to the root of the problem, and they really don't and haven't been proven to reduce bite incidences or attacks. And I think for elected officials, certainly this is always a political topic and obviously a highly charged and emotional one as well. But if the ultimate goal is to increase public safety, and if the ultimate goal is to reduce bite incidences, there frankly just is not the case scientifically, and I think the fact that a number of these highly credible organizations have come forth requesting and encouraging municipalities and state legislatures to repeal breed discriminatory language certainly has made an impression on my opinion.
Okay. Let's also talk to Abby Benefiel, director of the Humane Society of Perry, Iowa, Perry in southwestern Iowa, of course. Hi, Abby.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, Perry is a municipality, a city that has changed the law. How have the laws been changed in your city?
Well, first of all, your timing is perfect because we're celebrating 2 years of breed neutral language in our ordinances. Mm-hmm. So this month is our second year without any sort of discrimination. And as far as how it's changed,
So it's
no longer.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's just this basic principle. No longer whole breeds are not banned. We're looking at whether an individual dog has shown behavior that's dangerous.
Correct. And that's what we asked for when we rewrote our ordinances, is that dogs be looked at as dogs, that they be evaluated based on behaviors, not on breed characteristics or the opinion of someone who is labeling them as a pit bull or a pit bull type, who really has no qualifications to identify the dog at all.
Let me throw this out to you. According to the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, about 4.5 million people are bitten by dogs each year. Pit bulls, Rottweilers are responsible for the large majority of these injuries and actually several hundred fatalities as well. So what are you saying? They're not inherently vicious? How do you explain the statistic?
I explain the statistic because if you look at other statistics, they will show you that the most frequent dog bites occur from chihuahuas and dachshunds. However, they are not reported. And so the statistics are skewed. The reason that we hear more about the pit bulls and the Rottweilers and the larger breeds is because they are capable of doing more damage.
Right, right. And that makes them more dangerous, so, right?
It does make them more dangerous. It also means that if they're being kept inside, they're never being exposed to the public, they're not getting socialization, if they're not getting all the things that your normal, healthy Labrador gets, those things are going to be encouraged, not trained out.
Okay.
If the dog never gets off of its own property and someone strange comes onto his property and it has a chance to bite them or protect that property, it's doing its job, number one. But number two, that dog has no reason to trust anybody because it has never been exposed to the world.
So it's a matter of upbringing, and perhaps we know sometimes often they're used as fighting dogs. They can be abused. As director of the Humane Society of Perry, you have, I have to assume, contact with a lot of different breeds, over the years. Do you find that certain breeds tend to be, not talking about individuals, but breeds tend to be more aggressive than others?
No, sir, not at all. Not at all. When dogs come into our facility, we give them a day or so to settle down because every dog is anxious when they get there. And within 24 hours, I can tell you whether or not I'm going to go into the cage with that dog or not. And it's never a matter of what breed it is. It's a matter of how is this dog behaving? What do I need to be aware of?
Mm-hmm. Abby Benefield, stay with us, director of the Humane Society of Perry, Iowa. Christine Partey is with us, Des Moines resident, trying to get the laws there about, so it's a breed neutral, if that's the term you used, in terms of declaring what dogs are vicious or not. 1-866-780-9100 if you'd like to join our conversation for the next few minutes. Matt Hill joins us as well, assistant professor of anthropology at the University of Iowa. Matt Hill, welcome to our program.
Oh, thank you very much. Good afternoon.
We've had you on before. You specialize in examining how humans interact with the environment as an anthropologist, but also you occasionally teach a class on the relationship between humans and dogs, and that's why we've asked you here. Can you give us some context? You've been listening about how dogs came to be. They are our creations, if you want to see it that way, and how certain characteristics have been bred into dogs.
Yeah, dogs are the oldest domesticated animal. They've been around probably at least about 30,000 years alongside humans. Now, the breeds that we think of today are actually a relatively recent invention by us, that selective breeding has created 300 or so different breeds that we recognize today. And in general, those breeds were selected and bred for certain traits. A lot of it is how they look, their size, their shape, the shape of the head, the length of the body, the length of the limbs. And those kind of body features are often related to certain activity or job they had. They mm-hmm. are hunting dogs. They were scent followers. They were retrievers.
Let's jump specifically to the pit bull and Rottweiler variety.
Yeah. Pit bull is a descendant of a very long lineage of what's called baiting dogs, basically dogs that were raised to fight with other animals, bears and bulls. in England primarily. In the late 1800s, they were selectively kind of bred to start fighting each other. The baiting laws were outlawed, and so dog fighting began. And it's been going on, unfortunately, even in the U.S. and in Iowa for 150 or so years. And that's what they were bred for initially.
So what the modern pit bull, what is your answer to the question of whether this breed is more dangerous, more likely to attack than other ones?
Well, there's been actually a lot of study that's tried to look at the genetics and behavior of aggression. And one of the things that I think the literature is starting to show is that while pit bulls in particular are aggressive towards other animals, other dogs and things like that, there's veterinary studies and such that suggest they are more aggressive to other dogs than other breeds. Interestingly, dogs like Chihuahuas, Dachshunds are actually rank much higher in aggression towards humans than pit bulls.
Mm-hmm. But because of their size, they're just not as dangerous to humans. A dachshund, for instance, something like that. So when we talk, how long has this idea of a pit bull? When you say pit bull or you see a pit bull, a lot of people will flinch and not want to be around it. How long has that been around, has followed these breeds, the American Staffordshire Terriers?
That's actually a very recent thing. In the 1980s and early 90s, there was a series of horrific events in which pit bulls attacked humans. And that really is where this kind of movement that they're a vicious dog. If you go back 50, 60, 100 years, pit bulls, ironically, in America were a classic family dogs. People like Mark Twain, Helen Keller, President Winston Woodrow Wilson were known to have pit bulls as family dogs. It was a classic dog. And anybody who remembers the old Little Rascals TV show,
yes,
the Petey was a pit bull. It was this friendly, happy dog. And it was just a series of terrible events that got a lot of media attention in the 80s and 90s that really led to our kind of view today, I think.
So the idea that pit bulls today, statistically, the CDC says they're responsible for the large majority of injuries and fatalities, that can be explained through what?
Well, in most cases, it's not a genetic trait that's somehow indicative of that. The research on these aggressive attacks is not very good. And usually what you see related to these attacks are essentially poor ownership and control of the dog. They're not very well socialized. They're often put in bad conditions. They're abused themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And this leads to terrible situations. It's not the dog's fault. It's really the owner's.
Abby Benefield, you're at the Humane Society of Perry. Do you agree with that? It's often the result of abuse.
Wholeheartedly. Maybe not even the abuse, but neglect. You know, an animal that has no reason to trust anyone. It goes back down to it's the idiot on the other end of the leash, excuse me. The problems that we see in dogs are seldom the dog's fault. And I like to tell people there are no evil puppies. Now, if there's an evil characteristic in that puppy, we don't nurture it. We nurture those qualities, those traits that are beneficial to us that we want to see developed.
We want to get to a couple callers here. But before that, this in the news, of course, every week you have dog bites man or some version of that story. But here's a different one. While pit bulls are often in the news as a result of an act of aggression, there are also many stories of pit bulls rescuing their owners or performing heroic acts. One such story happened earlier this week involving a young pit bull named Hades in Oregon. Hades rescued her owner's son after he was stung by bees 24 times. Here is the boy who was rescued in his own words of what happened.
Hades saw me and came and she dragged me up to the grass and then stopped and let me crawl on her back and then took me to mom.
I just heard a bunch of screaming. Then I saw my dog dragging my son up his pants.
Okay, dog dragging a young boy who had been bitten over 20 times by stung over 20 times by bees, dragged up a ravine into safety, into a backyard. She also said, the mother said, that without the help of Hades, this pit bull, she is sure several of the kids would have gotten sick, possibly died. The daughter also on the scene, who got stung many times, allergic to bee sting. So there it goes back to your family dog. This is an incredibly faithful a breed.
Absolutely. There's historic accounts in World War I and World War II of pit bulls saving soldiers on the battlefield. This big, strong dog was often in the military bred and trained to be attacking the enemy, but there's many accounts of them saving soldiers.
Okay, we want to get to some feedback from our listeners. Jacob in Fort Dodge says, can we step farther to classify dogs as violent by not only behavior, but also consider a dog owner history? At least in my town, the violent dogs tend to belong to the same evil people, writes Jacob. Their dogs get loose and chase me when I am on my bike. I might be prudent to ban ownership to people who it might be prudent to ban ownership to people who have a history of training dogs to be violent. That's very interesting. Mary in Perry, we're starting to run out of time, but Mary, we want to hear from you in a town that has for 2 years had this new law.
Yes, I've had Rottweilers for the last 20 years. I've had three of them. And prior to that two-year neutral law that the Humane Society got in, my dog was considered a vicious breed. But she's a champion show dog and would lick you to death, but we just don't want that to happen. But she would lick you. thanks to the Humane Society and that law, she is now just a dog as anybody else. If you see a Rottweiler that's aggressive, it's generally trained to do that. The idiot owner is the one that trains them to do that. So, no, it's not the dog. It's the owner.
Okay, Mary and Perry, thank you for your perspective, your experience. Dave is with us in Des Moines. What do you want to say, Dave?
Oh, thanks for taking my call. My daughter was attacked by a vicious dog, and it wasn't a dangerous breed. And I can concur that these breeds should be neutral, but the laws need to respect human beings. So you have the right to have your dog. If it displays any kind of aggression, though, the law has to be written so you can get rid of these dogs. If this aggressive dog, which came in my backyard, for example, if I would have discharged a firearm to shoot that dog as it was charging my daughter, I would have gone to jail when the weapon was actually the dog. And I don't care if you love dogs, you hate dogs, or whatever. And it is the people's fault. But you do have a weaponized beast, so to speak, that everybody's got their own little Fido until they're not. So I would just say, okay, take the pit bulls off and change the language, as long as there's language in there for the public safety, so that when a dog does display aggressive behavior, and it is the human being's fault, I'm sorry, but my daughter's life trumps your dog's right to come in my yard.
Thank you very much, Dave in Des Moines. Christine Pardee, we have just a few minutes left. Tell us, I wanted to go to Abby, as in the Humane Society of Perry. What has been the effect in Perry? Have you had more or fewer incidents of dog attacks there since this brood neutral language?
No, it's remained the same. If anything, it's slightly lower, but we are seeing more people step up and say that lab is not safe to be around with somebody looking into it. So it's there. People are recognizing that the language that addresses aggression is across the board. It goes for any breed, not just the pit bulls. Whereas prior to this, it seems that only pit bulls were being targeted for any sort of behavior. So the instances of aggressive behavior are not higher, they're not lower, they're about the same, but they're now universal across the breed.
Christine Pardee, we have about a minute left. You've approached the city council to change the law in Des Moines. They appointed a task force to make recommendations on the subject. They could vote on it soon. What's the timeline here? What do you hope gets done and when?
Well, I hope, first and foremost, that there's very thoughtful consideration about a number of ways that we can create incentives for dog owners to make sure, number one, they control their animals and that there's a benefit associated with good behavior. breed neutral language is not, you know, the sole and only thing I approached our council to consider, but also considering an increased penalty and fines for dog owners who neglect and abuse dogs, and possibly the adoption of a habitual offender provision, such as what the city of Omaha has.
Mm-hmm. So treating it really as a weapon. If you misuse a weapon and you have a permit to have that weapon, it's taken away from you.
Absolutely. Fair is fair. And so I just don't believe that dogs should be born into the world with this label slapped on them as vicious if they aren't, and they haven't done anything to deserve that label.
Mm-hmm. So. Christine, very quickly, do you know of other communities in Iowa that have a similar language that you've adopted in the last 2 years?
From my understanding, the city of Altoona may be in the process of their second reading to repeal breed discriminatory language. I spoke with someone from there yesterday, and it sounds as if the city council is in complete support of this, and they don't anticipate any pushback on that at all. Of course, Perry did. I understand Waterloo has done that. So clearly there's a precedent from our smaller communities in the state. But I anticipate, just based on what I've been seeing throughout the country, that there will probably be a domino effect here if our elected officials defer to these panic policies sometimes, which they need to do.
We have to end it there. Christine Pardee, Des Moines resident, thank you very much. Abby Benefiel, director of the Humane Society of Perry, Iowa, thank you. And Matt Hill of the University of Iowa. Matt, Christine, and Abby, thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up tomorrow on this program, Friday, of course, that means it's a News Buzz edition. We'll hear an archive interview with Terry Anderson, an Iowa State University graduate who was taken captive during the Lebanese Civil War in the late 1980s. He'll talk about reporting in a war zone. And we'll also talk about cybersecurity and legal recourse if you're hacked in Iowa, coming up tomorrow on our program. River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury, Lindsay Moon, and Claire Roth. Thanks to John Pemble in Des Moines. I'm Ben Kiefer. Talk to you again tomorrow over the noon hour.